We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Miss Renee Kielhofer. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm good.
It's always good to see your beautiful face.
Oh, good to be here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City, Pastor Chasten and Brooklyn Music. We are better together. I think I covered it all. God's so good. I love how the Holy Spirit just brings it all. Yeah, I have no notes. And it's just, okay, yeah, there's a few right here. There's the phone number and the email. It's so cool how if we just keep doing it, keep showing up, mm-hmm. He can keep bringing it up.
Yep.
And help us learn it. He's so cool. Anyway. Would you pray to start us out, beautiful?
Sure. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have this morning. We just give it to you, and we invite your Holy Spirit into this hour, and we ask that our hearts would be open to receive whatever it is that you have for us today, and that the words and the message would be anointed, and that we would just end this hour differently than we came in. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. The battle is real.
It is real.
It's really real.
Does anybody know it's not real? Just to a little background, you know, especially in America over the last 100 years, we've really seen a decline in the church. And we can kind of pinpoint that to several different things, but let me just read some statistics really quick. 24% of people between the ages of 30 and 49 attend church once a week. 24%. 34% read the Bible once a week. 31% believe the Bible is the Word of God and should be taken literally. 31%. 34% believe it's not the Word of God, but yet 71% believe in heaven and 59% believe in hell. Isn't that crazy? I mean, you look at these statistics and it looks like Satan's winning, but if 71% believe in heaven and 59% believe in hell, then why do only 24% go to church just once a week, and only 31% believe the Word of God is true? It just blows my mind how we can separate that and minimize that over the years. But you know, that's what Satan does. Little by little, he chips away at the truth to try to convince you that it's a lie. And I personally believe some of those things that we can attribute this to are the women's movement of the 1920s. I know that's not a popular opinion, and I mean, trust me, I'm not against women. I am one, you know, but it was the beginning of Satan's infiltration into the home. and into the family. And so it that kind of began the first part of the decline. And I know there are feminists out there who would argue this, you know, up one side and down the other, but the statistics will prove me right. There's more divorce, more crime, more, you know, orphan children, more juvenile delinquents. All of these things have happened since we have taken the woman out of the home, and that influence and that extra layer of protection that used to be there. And then also taking prayer out of schools. That was another leg that rattled our children and rattled our nation. Because used to, a child may not go to church, they may not be getting anything at home, but at school, at least they started their day with prayer. So there was something that was clicking that, you know, maybe there's something to this. There was something drawing their attention to God. And so we removed that in the 60s, and then in the 70s, you know, we had all this like free love and everybody does what feels good. And then of course that's when Roe versus Wade became a law. And thankfully that has been overturned, which is just amazing. I mean, that shows the miraculous power of God, that he can overturn man's law that they think they have set in stone. But during the battle for that, we saw some pretty radical and evil mindsets that were just, you know, brought to light. During that time, New York passed the law, the Reproductive Health Care Act, which said that babies could be aborted up to birth. A full-term baby could be aborted, and if it was born alive, it could actually be killed in order to protect the woman's life or health. And this was to be determined by a healthcare professional, but the procedure could be performed by a non-doctor. Is that just not the craziest thing you've ever heard? I mean, Governor Cuomo, who was governor at the time, he is quoted as saying, "We are sending a clear message that whatever happens in Washington, women in New York will always have the fundamental right to control their own body." What does that even mean? I mean, maybe you exercise that fundamental right to control your own body before you get pregnant, because the actual instances of pregnancy because of rape or incest are so small. That is the most minute, you know, section of all of that. And so basically it's like, you know, you just do whatever you want to and you don't have to pay any consequences for it. And I understand that people fall short and things happen. And so I wouldn't want anyone to feel any kind of condemnation from this conversation this morning, because that's not my intent at all. If you found yourself in that situation or if you've had an abortion, God loves you. He forgives you. He has great plans for your life, and he wants you to have peace and joy. I'm only pointing this out to show just how perverted and demonic the logic is behind this. And that's what we as Christians need to stay alert to. You know, who would have ever thought in the 21st century we would be redefining murder? And that's basically what we're doing. We talk a lot about redefining genders and redefining marriage, but we literally have redefined murder with these abortion laws. And so that's something that should be alarming to every single human being. You know, I know this is not part of what I'm talking about this morning, but I know that everybody has seen the reports on Israel and the terrorist attacks by Hamas and Hezbollah, and now Lebanon is joining in, and it's so horrific. And one of the things they keep talking about is what they're doing to the children, literally burning children alive and shooting babies. And the world is appalled, but we're not appalled over abortion. that's baffling to me. It is twisted. It is very twisted. 23% of adults in America self-identify as either atheist or agnostic, and that is a rise of over 50% since 2007. You know, what have we done since 2007? How have we dropped the ball? So we have to understand we are in a war, and Satan has pulled out all the stops, but the spiritual realm is real, and that's where the battle is being fought. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I'm reading out of the NLT, and I know this is going to be really familiar scripture to probably everyone who's listening, but it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies." We're not fighting against our lawmakers. We're not fighting against the pro-abortion activist groups, but we're fighting against rulers and authorities of the unseen world. That's the spiritual realm. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We are fighting a spiritual war. And we see the effects on our culture and our nation, but I think sometimes, it starts with the individual. And so sometimes that's harder for us to identify. So we need to realize, number one, that all things are spiritual. We are spiritual beings. So the spiritual affects every part of who we are. So therefore, all things are spiritual. And we tend to put things in little boxes, like our spiritual world, our work world, our recreation world, our entertainment, and so on. And so we have it all in these nice little compartments, but the reality is every area of our life reflects our spiritual health and our spiritual growth. All things are spiritual. There is a spiritual component to everything that we do. And for me, that was like a big epiphany when I realized that, because it helps me to take that step back and look at the whole picture and see what might be, you know, beneath the surface. Because we can easily see the effects of the battle in our society and even in our churches, but we miss it on that individual basis, because in our daily lives, the effects of the battle are really just as real, but that comes as hurt, anger, bad attitudes, conflict, depression, anxiety, self-pity, all of these things that we want to lump into this little box of emotions or mental illness, but they're results of the spiritual battle that's going on. And Satan wants to cause these things in our lives because he knows if he can get us to focus on those things, really focus on ourselves, then he can get us in a battle-weary position. And once we get battle-weary, it's easier for him to get the upper hand in our lives. And then it takes our focus completely off God, the author and finisher of our faith. But we have to keep our eyes up, our eyes on him. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth." And that's, we quote that as a lot as Christians, and I've heard it a lot through my whole life, but to actually stop and think, what is my mind set on today? In this moment, where is my mind set? And if I can answer that question, a lot of times therein lies my problem, because it's not, my eyes are not up. So we have to understand that Satan and his demons are just as real as God and his angels. I did not say just as powerful. Mm-mm. I said just as real as God and his angels. There is a spiritual realm, and we have to understand and accept and embrace that fact. There's a spiritual realm and there's a physical realm. But the spiritual realm affects the physical realm. The spiritual realm rules, so to speak, the physical. So the physical is what we can see. The spiritual is what we cannot see. So to put it simply, the physical realm, what I can see, is a result of what I cannot see. And I think the example that I could think of was my daughter, and I know you guys know her story, and maybe some of you listening know her story, but she has gone through addiction, eating disorders, mental illness, and all of that was easy to see. Mm-hmm. But what we could not see were the seeds of anger and hurt and abandonment and a rejection that Satan had planted in her life and nurtured for years until it sprouted out as addiction, eating disorders, and mental illness, because it produced, that's the fruit that it produced. And so what we do is, this is where we make our mistake, is we focus on what we can see and we believe that's the problem. And so we find ourselves in the heat of the battle, but we're on the wrong battlefield. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're at Vicksburg, but the battle's in Gettysburg. So how effective are we going to be? And what really happens when we're not fighting on the right battlefield is, instead of overcoming, we simply readjust our lives to find a way to cope. And coping is not overcoming. There is a huge difference there. Coping is learning to live without something. And overcoming brings you peace, which is the whole thing, lacking nothing. So the question is, do you want to cope or do you want to overcome? Because coping is going to leave you living a life far lower than what God intended for you to live in the first place. But overcoming is going to put you in that high place, in that heavenly place where Christ wants you to be in the first place, and where he intended us to live. You know, and you can jump in here anytime. You look like you're like chomping at the bit to say something.
Yeah, I'm just really, I'm taking it in, because for me personally and my history, I really relate to pretty much everything you're saying. Like I was saying before we started, I recently went through a thing where in the Bible it talks about when a spirit leaves, when you get delivered and the spirit leaves, mm-hmm. it goes out and recruits seven more, and then eight, the one and the seven makes eight, they come back. Mm-hmm. And if you're not filled, you're in big trouble. And I recently, and I mean, I could literally, I don't know why, I feel things differently. I don't know why I see things. I don't know why I smell things that other people can't. But it's okay. Mm-hmm. With that being said, within the past 3 weeks, I recently, and I've been off IV drugs and stuff since 17.
Okay.
And I haven't experienced this until within the past 3 weeks. Renee, I could literally feel.
Wow. Wow.
All around me.
Wow.
They were all around me. And even though I couldn't see them physically, mm-hmm. I could feel them mm-hmm. all around me trying to get in.
Wow.
And I was beside myself. And I finally was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've done everything I know to do. And he dropped a name in my spirit. So I went to see that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went in there and I said, look, I'm not crazy. But this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I need help. Because now that one has come back with seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I can physically feel. And that's what it felt like, somebody, but it was all around me. And I would resist, and it would come harder. And I could feel them. And then I sat with that person, and we prayed. And when we prayed, there was some clarity that came. And you could physically feel them go.
Wow.
And they haven't been back since that. I haven't wow. felt. And I don't understand everything. And the favorite thing for the enemy to do, we've got to get it, people.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very real.
It is very real. And I keep hearing that scripture come up that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And we make that sound so simple, but you're talking about the battle. Resisting yeah. was a fight. It wasn't yeah. just get away from me in the name of Jesus. It was like, I got to recruit some help and yeah. I got to fight this battle.
Yeah.
But you resisted and they had to flee. The enemies were scattered.
And this was so cool. The Lord is so cool. Last Monday, the first Monday of the month, I fought, and it was the following Monday from Bible study, from that Monday that I went and asked for help
mm-hmm.
to get through this, for this battle. And I got in my car. And I opened the garage door, and I'm sitting there. And in the clouds, there was an eagle. The clouds were shaped like an eagle, and of course I took a picture. Of course. Of course I did. And there was some spots in front of the eagle. And when I looked at it and seen it, I heard in my spirit, evil must flee. Resist and the evil must flee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, the beautiful thing about your testimony is that there was always hope. Mm-hmm. You know, you're feeling physically feeling the demonic yeah. forces pressing against you and hitting you, and you're resisting because there's hope.
And I'm like, no.
Yes.
No. In Jesus' name, you have no right to me.
Yes.
I'm okay. a child of God.
And that's where we have to get. You know, instead, we say things like, oh, I'm doing good under the circumstances. You know, we open, Satan listens to what we say, and we open that door
yes.
to just show to the whole evil underworld that there is a void here, and they're thinking, oh, there's a void, there's a place I can feel. And so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 22 says that Christ is seated in heavenly places. He is above all things, all is everything, even the dark spiritual realm, and he's above all principalities and powers, and all things are under his feet.
Yes.
Now, what is so cool about this is, I mean, I have no problem picturing my Heavenly Father in heaven, seated on his throne with everything under his feet. But the reality is, if you're a Christian, then you are in Christ. So you are seated in Christ. I mean, you're in God's lap. All things are under your feet because you're sitting in God's lap. And so we're not under anything as long as we are in Christ. It's us, you know, God's lap's big enough for all of us, but it's us who take our eyes off our Father and decide we can jump down out of his lap and take care of some things. And then that's when we get all messed up and we got to find our way back to the Father and crawl back in that lap and look in his face and say, you know, we can even almost hide our face and be like, Daddy, take care of this, you know, because the battle is the Lord's.
Yeah.
And so that's the really cool thing. But we keep turning the focus back to ourselves, and Satan uses our feelings to do that. That is his number one tool. And so the number one thing we need to remember is feelings are not facts. I may be feeling down and defeated, but I am not down and defeated because I am in Christ. My feelings are not facts, and my feelings are fickle, and they will come and go like the wind. But my core knowledge, knowing who I am in Christ, that does not change because my feelings change. And so we have to keep the focus off ourselves, and we attack that right there in that moment of our feelings. Did you know there are 450 million selfies uploaded every day?
Wow.
450 million selfies, yet Jesus said we need to die to self. And here we are, you know, taking pictures of everything we do as if anyone really cares. You know? Does anybody really care that I got a haircut today, or I got a perm, or that I don't have any makeup on? Or does anybody really care? Well, my husband probably cares, but but you know what I'm saying. It's like we think, and I'm not, you know, I've uploaded selfies too. I mean, I don't want to condemn anybody. I'm just saying that, you know, we have to be careful that our focus is not always on ourselves. And we can get, that can even become an obsession, where we are so obsessed with what we look like that it overshadows everything else, and it keeps our eyes on us instead of our eyes up on the Father where they belong. So in the heat of that battle, it's crucial and critical to die to self in order to keep your focus set on what is above.
This morning I was reading, I have a Passions translation that I'm reading through, and this morning it was Galatians 6. It says, "My beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken with a fault, the one who is in the Spirit should seek to restore him in the spirit of gentleness, but keep watch over your own heart. So that you won't be tempted to exalt yourself over him. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the Anointed One as we carry each other's troubles. If you think you are somebody too important to stoop down to help another when you really are not, you are living in deception. Let everyone be devoted to fulfill the work God has given them to do with excellence, and their joy will be in doing what's right and being themselves, and not in being affirmed by others."
That's good.
Every believer is ultimately responsible for his or her own conscience, and those who were taught the word must share all good things with their teacher. Good will never be mocked. God will never be mocked. For what you plant, and this is what really gave me God bumps this morning. God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. With that, we really got to get over ourselves, y'all.
Yeah.
We wonder, and this morning I was like, wow, Lord. So we caused this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not me, maybe not you. However, we are not happy with things we're seeing. Well, then, what seeds are we planting?
Yeah, that's a good word.
We need to get that sickle out, cut this harvest, get it out of the way, burn it,
mm-hmm.
and let's start replanting the seeds, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
That's let's get the right word. Seed in the ground.
Yeah.
And even though we may not see the harvest, mm-hmm. our children's children.
Absolutely.
We'll reap a harvest of godliness.
Absolutely.
But if we're so consumed with pleasing people, what is this person going to think of me? What is that going to think of me? You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying?
Yeah.
You know, me, my, I, if we are so consumed,
mm-hmm.
and it leads me to... I'm not a political person, really, I'm not. But, however, we have come to a place, I believe, that we're not caring about the people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I agree.
We care about... And when I say we, I mean we.
Mm-hmm.
We care about building ourselves up.
Mm-hmm. What benefits me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to help you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was thinking as you read that passage, you know, you can even see something in the spiritual realm that you know is off, and it's hard, just like that passage said, to not get puffed up over that, you know, to not be like, you are so wrong and you need to get this straightened out. You know, it's hard to back up and say, mm-hmm. say what needs to be said in love. And it comes from a humbleness of spirit. And I am just speaking from my own experience. I mean, I can go from humble to arrogance in like a split second. You know, I mean, and I hate arrogance. And I don't like it in myself or in other people. But I'm just saying it's so easy to just go there. And so to ask yourself that question, what seed am I planting when I go to this person? Am I planting a seed of restoration that's going to benefit the kingdom? Or am I just trying to show somebody you're wrong and I'm right? And it's very easy for that line to get blurred, even if you start with the best intentions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easy.